Hello.
Hello.
Would you please start by stating your full name, the date, the time, and your location?
My name is Agatha Taylor. What do you want next?
The date?
Oh, February the 22nd, 2022.
Yeah. And the time?
What time is it, Ronald? 8:33.
And where are you right now?
Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
And do you consent to having this interview recorded, digitally uploaded, and publicly released under a Creative Commons license, attribution, non-commercial, share alike?
Yes.
Would you please start by introducing yourself to anyone who might find themselves listening to this? What would you want them to know about you?
I don't know. How's that? I'm 92. I live by myself with a little dog. And I guess that's all.
You were born in Kingston?
I was born in Kingston. I've lived here all my life. I lived in this house for almost 70 years. Okay.
Do you remember? Oh, sorry. Please go on.
I just said okay.
What does the word pandemic mean to you?
I can't think of the word I'd like to use. One is upheaval. Chaos. That would be about the best word, chaos.
What was your day-to-day looking like before the pandemic?
Pretty much the same as it is now, except I could get out a little bit more. I could take the car and go out. And if I wanted a coffee, I could stop at the coffee shop. Whatever I wanted to do, I could do. Now I'm very limited to what I can do.
You had mentioned going for coffee. What are some of the other things you miss doing?
Going into the fabric store.
Tell me about the fabric store.
This is the reason I love the fabric store. I like feeling the fabrics.
What kinds of things do you sew?
Mainly making gifts for my friends. Plus, I make, you'll laugh, all my kids' pajamas I still make. I've been making them ever since, now my daughter is now 70. So, and I've been making her pajamas ever since she was a little girl. I'm still making them. How's that? And I knit.
Do you remember the first time you heard about the pandemic?
No.
Do you remember any of your early impressions?
I just thought it was going to be probably like what happened in Spain when they had the terrible pandemic in there. And I'm sorry, but I firmly think that because we've had no wars, we have to have something like this. To help eliminate the population. It just seems as if you read your Bible, it tells about all the wars to kill off people. And so we have to have wars too when the world gets a little bit overpopulated. So we have something that comes along that we really and truly do not like. And it helps to eliminate the population and pare it down. I don't know if that's sane thinking or not, but hey, that's the way it is.
What does the Bible mean to you?
The good book. It can teach us, and it can take away. It depends upon how we want to read it, and if we believe what it says or if we disbelieve.
Would you tell me something about your relationship to religion or spirituality?
I believe in the good book. I went to church up to a few years ago, but that was relationships in the church changed and things happened. And so I figure I can be just as good a person sitting at home on Sunday and sitting in church listening to somebody that sometimes preaches over my head. And then I felt like all of us sitting in church because he was not, I don't know, but I sat there thinking that playing the plate, all I sat there for doing was putting my collection on the plate. So now I just don't go to church at all. Do I send my contribution in, or tithing? Yes, I do. I believe the church has to have it. And it's good for income tax. Sorry. Government wants his piece, so that's the way it goes.
There's nothing to apologize for in an oral history interview. So long as you're sharing, I'm really grateful to receive it. How have you been dealing with things during the pandemic?
With me, there's probably not a whole lot to deal with as far as shopping for food and that concern. My daughter-in-law does it, and then I write her a check for what she's bought for me. And when I need to go to an appointment, they take me. So other than that, except for me driving the car and going out by myself, very little has changed.
How have you been feeling about your safety?
Fine. Fine. My family have all been vaccinated. They insisted that I was. And do they wear a mask when they come into my house? No, they don't. Do I demand that they wear a mask? No, I don't. The people that come in to help me, yes, they wear a mask. But not me. The only time I wear a mask is when I go into a store.
Tell me about your family asking you to get vaccinated.
What do you mean?
You had said that your family had insisted you get vaccinated.
They were worried. They were worried that I might get sick. So they made all the arrangements to get vaccinated. I didn't because, really and truly, I'm not very good with the computer. So this is a learning experience, talking to you on this. he says foam. I guess that's what it is. But, hey, so it was a case of this. They made all the arrangements, and they took me. And all I had to do was stick out my arm.
How was it?
I got a sore arm. Other than that, there was nothing to it.
Tell me about the safety you're feeling and the decisions you've been making about not having masks in the home.
About what?
You had said that when you have family come to visit you in the home, not having them wear masks. Talk to me about why you made that decision.
It wasn't a decision I made. It was just they came, and did they ask me if I wanted them to put a mask on? No. Now, when my granddaughter comes down from Toronto, I haven't seen her since before Christmas now, but every time that they came down from Toronto, when they came in, we would visit outside. But But when they come into my house, and don't ask me why, but they always put a mask on. And then when they went out of the house, they took it off. I thought it was funny, but I didn't say one way or the other. It was a case of...
You can tell that, yeah.
What, Ronald? I can't read it. Oh, also, my daughter-in-law works in the... in the ICU at the hospital. So it's a case of this, which I more or less, when she says something, I more or less say yes.
What's it been like having a daughter working in emergency rooms at this time?
Scary. Scary. For what's going on, if I figure she's in real danger.
Do you talk to her about that?
No. I don't bring up any subjects with her unless she brings them up.
I have a what seemed like a silly question. What's your dog's name?
Andy. And he's laying on my lap right now under a blanket. He loves a wool blanket.
What's it been like living with a dog for the last few years?
Well, I've lived with dogs for 60 years. So it hasn't changed except that this is a little one. Most of the rest of the dogs have been big. But my daughter said to me that when I got this fella, that he had to be short, less than up to my knees. And I don't think he comes halfway up to my knees.
So, your ankles.
My grandson says he jumps on my ankles. He's only a little guy. And the reason he is a rescue. He is now, I've only had him 3 years, but he's now 9 years old. I was bound and bent that this time I would not get a young dog on the account of my age. Because I didn't want to have to say die and somebody else would have to have my dog. But I didn't want him to go back to the pound again. So he's a good guy. And he makes me have to move. You have to put her out. You have to bring him in. You have to do a lot of things with him. But yes, he's been a blessing.
Have you been paying much attention to what the news specific to Kingston has been like about the pandemic?
I actually, up until this last year, we were pretty lucky. The thing was that the fellow that was chief doctor, he put in regulations and rules that actually we had nobody sick in our institutions, which was good. The last year, no, it hasn't been. We've had quite a few people sick. I think we've had less than 10 die though, which is really good. But I was glad of some of the things that he did. But then Mr. Ford decided he needed them better than we did, and so he went to Toronto instead of staying here in Kingston.
What happened to the work in Kingston after he left for Toronto?
I don't know. I don't know. The other virus came in, from what I can gather, and it hit people differently than what the first one did. So it was a case that we got more people sick, and also trauma and ship people down because their hospital was too full and had to come into our hospital. But hey,
please go on.
That's a fact of life.
How have you been feeling about how Doug Ford has been handling the pandemic?
I think he's a piece of work. Did I vote for him? No. Would I vote for him? No. That tells you what I think of Doug Ford. Sorry. You asked. She's laughing.
There's been a lot going on in the last 2 years of not just COVID, but also politics and a lot of stuff has been happening since 2020. And I'm wondering, what have you been paying attention to? What have you been noticing? What's been sitting with you?
I don't know. To me, life is still just going on just the same as what it was. I can rant and rave about whatever in the heck I want to. I read four newspapers. I do not watch very little TV. So, and as far as this, putting the computer on, I might put it on twice a week to clean off the stuff and look at the grocery ads. Well, the problem with it is some of our newspapers are not printing the grocery ads, so I can't read them. If I don't go on the computer, I can't read them.
What are the newspapers you're reading?
The Wing Standard, which is our local rag, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, and the Post.
And what kinds of things have you been reading about in there?
Well, what I really like in the newspaper, I'll be honest with you, is the crossword puzzles and the comics and the cartoons. I love them the best. And I look at them first.
What does the word health mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
What does the word health mean to you?
Health.
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 Health. I never think about it. It's just something that, hey, you're either healthy or you're not. So it's a case of you're sick or you're not. It's just a fact. I figure what the good Lord dishes out, you take, and it's one step at a time. You get up in the morning and do what you have to do, and then when it's all finished, you go to bed at night, and that's the way it goes day by day.
Do you feel healthy?
Hmm?
Do you feel healthy?
Most days I do feel healthy.
What's your access to medical care been like when you've needed it?
What did you say, Ronald?
Pretty good.
Ronald says good. She's starting to, during the first year, the only time you didn't get to see the doctor, all you got was a phone call. Now she's back seeing patients again, because I saw her 2 weeks ago.
Did it feel different doing the appointments by phone and going in to see her more recently?
Yes. Yeah. Because the thing is, you can look, on the phone, you don't think to ask the questions that you do when you see her in person.
What does the word safety mean to you?
Locking your door at night. I live on a street that's one block long. There's only 10 houses, I think 10 houses on my street. And seeing because I've lived here that long, it's very, very quiet. So actually, I don't think I worry too much as far as saying, don't even think about it. If you want the truth, just you lock the door at night and you unlock it in the morning, and that's the way it goes.
Do you have much of a community there in Kingston? People you talk on the phone with? People you might see at a dog park?
No. It's got so that a lot of my friends have died on the account of my age. And so therefore, it is hard to make new friends. And because the people that are moving in are so much younger that, yeah, they talk to you, but it's almost as if they haven't got time for you because they've got their own friends and they're trying to keep, I figure that they're trying to keep their friends as is. And then my friends move or die. And so it's a fact of life.
And you're still close with a lot of family, right?
Yes and no. You know what family is, right? You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family.
That's right. How are you feeling about the immediate future?
About the what?
Immediate future.
I think this world's just gone to hell in a handbasket. I don't like what's happening as far as those truckers going to Ottawa and that kind of crap. I think that's crap. Like, okay, you go, make your case, get out. Don't stay there like they've done, because that was just utter ridiculous.
Would you tell whoever's listening to this would you tell whoever's listening to this later, what were the truckers in Ottawa for? What was happening there?
I really and truly don't know. They said one thing, but they did, to me, they did something else. They, if you're going, you state your case, and then you move on, and they didn't state their case and move on. Then the, as you call them, the rabble rousers jump in and stir up the pot, and everything then is something different than what it started out to be. And therefore, I don't know. It's just that it was just chaos. Chaos.
Is there anything more you would say about the world going to hell?
I'd like to see Putin stay back in his own bloody country and not worry about the rest of the world and taking us over. And that's exactly what he's going to do.
That sounds really scary.
That he will start a war. And we don't need another war. I've lived through one. Or two. And it's just a case of it's scary to see your family and that go off to war. Some come back. Some do not.
Is there anything you would share about your experiences of having lived through previous wars?
No.
What are some of the hopes for your longer-term future, if there are any?
I don't know. I'd like to see peace, but the problem with it is everybody thinks of peace as a different thing. What I might think of peace, what you might think of peace, are all different things. So it's a case of this. When people say peace, it's you hope, you pray, and that the world's going to be better than what it actually is.
When you say you want peace, what does that look like for you?
No wars. And like these mobs, none of that. That's crap. It's just that. I can't describe it.
Has there been much protesting in Kingston over the last few years that you know of?
There was one, and I really got ticked off because they took down the statue of Sir John A. Macdonald. It was about 20 or 30 people, but they got their way, and they removed his statue. Sure, maybe he wasn't the greatest. Maybe he did things wrong, but hey, we all do things wrong. And it's history. And you don't start taking down statues and start talking about people that are dead and the sins of omission. It was just crap.
How do you take care of yourself? Like, what do you do for self-care?
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I mean, if you're feeling glum, are there things you do to pick yourself back up?
I read a book. I read a lot.
What have you been reading?
Right now, I'm reading a book called The Hunt by Alison Brenneman. I realize it's a murder mystery. Sometimes they're love stories. So, do I pay for my books? No. But how I get them is my friend in New Brunswick, my best friend, reads. She boxes the books up. And my daughter now lives in New Brunswick. And so when my daughter comes to visit me, I get boxes of books, and then when I finish reading them, I pass them on. So I don't think I've bought a book in 20 years. I buy my newspaper, but not my books.
How has your family been doing throughout the pandemic?
It's because most of them aren't here, I don't see them, so I don't really know. Because my daughter being in New Brunswick, she was in more lockdown than me. And my granddaughter in Toronto, her and her husband are both working from home. So the only one I've got here is my son and my daughter-in-law and the kids.
How have you been feeling about the lockdowns?
About the what?
The lockdowns.
To me, it hasn't made much difference. I don't go out to eat. I like the odd bit of theater, but there isn't a whole lot of it. And you have to have somebody to go with you. And so therefore, it really and truly hasn't made too much difference in my life at all.
What do you want people in the humanities and the social sciences to be doing right now so that we can understand what's been happening over the last few years?
I don't think they're going to do anything.
What should they do?
You know something? I don't know. I really and truly don't know. Because everybody thinks differently. So I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that one.
I'd like you to imagine talking to some historian in the future. So someone 100 years from now is watching this. What would you tell them is important to you about getting remembered about this moment?
The people were crazy. They really are. Like, fine. We went through that Spanish flu, and people died because there was no vaccinations to be had. And therefore, granted, I haven't always, when I was a child, my grandmother did not vaccinate us. One of her kids got sick from it, and therefore, when we came along, because I lived with my grandparents because my mother had died, and So it was the case of that when it came time, they sent notes home from school at that stage of the game to be vaccinated, and my grandmother always said no. And actually, I never got vaccinated until polio. And that was really scary. It was really, really scary. And so, yes, I would tell people that they should get vaccinated. I realize there are a lot of people out there that are saying no. But they don't read history and realize what has happened. And if the no's could win, really and truly, because the no's are mainly killing off the population because they're not getting vaccinated and they don't realize what they're doing. Or maybe they think, I don't know what I'm doing either.
What can you tell me about the polio vaccination?
It was scary. It was really scary polio. I don't remember too much about the vaccination. There was a friend, my neighbor across the street, her sister-in-law got polio. She never came out of the hospital. She lived there the rest of her life, and that had to be 40, 50 years, which was really terrible, you know what I mean? And also, her daughter got it. Her daughter was not infected of it the way she was, but she had to wear braces on her legs, and she had to walk with canes. And so the couple of people that I know that had the polio were not really great. You know what I mean? The rest of us, well, we escaped.
Can you compare sort of like the way people were talking about polio when it was happening to the way people are talking about COVID now?
They didn't talk about it.
They didn't talk about it.
They didn't talk about it. It was just something that was there, and if you got it, you got it, and if you didn't get it, you were lucky. And that was about it.
So people weren't writing about it in newspapers?
Not to my knowledge.
That's
right. There was only one newspaper that we got here. And it was all local news. Let me tell you, there's very, very little of what went on outside the city.
Did you decide to vaccinate your own children based on your experiences?
No, I vaccinated. I figured it didn't hurt me not to get vaccinated. The only thing I had were measles and chickenpox. So I was very, very fortunate in that case. But when it came to my children, I vaccinated them.
How do you feel about vaccines sort of more generally?
I figure we all have to have free choice as far as that's concerned, but I really think if it can help you, you get it done. If it can't help you, then leave it alone.
I think those are all of the questions that I have, but I would love to open some space if there is anything you want to share. I'm so happy to listen and hear it.
Anything else you want to say, Lydia? Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say?
No, nothing else, Ronald. Sorry.
Thank you so very much for your time.
Hey, you're more than welcome. That was very, very nice talking to you.
So nice speaking with you as well.
Okay. You have a good day.
You too. Would you please start by stating your full name?